Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
All right, everyone. Another beautiful day together. Another beautiful day digging into God's word. I'm so excited for this chapter in Ruth 3 this morning. We'll pray in and we'll see what God's got for us. Amen. So, dear God, thank you for today. God, thank you for this time we get to come together as your people to hear your word, to study your word, to be changed by your word. God, thank you that you love us too much to leave us unchanged. So, God, I pray you would open our eyes and ears, hearts and minds, so that we could not leave this next few minutes together, Lord God, unchanged. But let your word saturate us. Let our hearts and our minds be more focused on you and your word and your plans for us through our time together. Pray, God, that I would decrease and you would increase. Holy Spirit, come, have your way. Lead us, guide us, direct us, strengthen us, challenge us, and help us to find what you have for each of us today in this time together. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So we are diving in today to Ruth chapter 3. This last couple days, we've been studying the book of Ruth, right? If you missed it, you definitely want to catch up in the first two chapters. Don't just hop in number 3, right? We're already two-thirds of the way through it, over halfway through it. Anne Dice had a beautiful insight and beautiful study on Ruth 1. And Jeff Behrens had really cool insights on Boaz in chapter 2. So we're hopping into in chapter 3. So catch us all up. Reminder from the weekend, Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, who's a Moabite foreigner, they find themselves back in Bethlehem after both becoming widows. And as two widows on the outskirts of society, they're trying to figure out their next steps, including how to provide for themselves in this season. And so Ruth, being an honorable daughter-in-law, she goes to a nearby field to pick up leftover grain to find just some kind of sustenance, some kind of food supply for her and Naomi. And in doing so, she runs into Boaz, who isn't just a kind and caring man who provides for her and Naomi as well. But she finds out that he's actually a guardian redeemer of their family, a Goel, as someone who may actually be able to help them in their circumstances by stepping in and caring for them in place of her husband, place of Ruth's husband. So we're going to dive in today to Ruth 3, verse 1. And I'll be reading out of the NIV today. And this chapter is called Ruth and Boaz at the Threshing Floor. Verse 1. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you'll be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he'll be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I'm your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me. since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. The Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night. In the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. He also said, bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out. When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Amen to God's word. All right. So, go ahead and get yourself a drink of water. Get yourself one more quick stretch in. We'll dive into this together. All right. So, Ruth chapter 3. So some context as we start this chapter off. At this point in the story, the time of harvest was over, right? All the wheat and barley has been harvested from the fields. Now they're going into a threshing season of breaking down the wheat and getting everything ready for the next stage of production, right, of harvest. At this point, the barley harvest is somewhere around the season of March, the month of March. And then the wheat harvest goes from about May to June. So at this point in the story, Ruth and Boaz had known each other for about 3 months, all right? And so during these 3 months, you know, they've been getting to work alongside each other in the field. They're getting to know each other. You know, they're not dating specifically, but they're building that relationship, right? They're building a level of trust with one another. And as they're doing so, they're also seeing this level of concern, right? They're building care for one another. We saw in the previous chapter how Boaz had looked after Ruth and cared for her and protected her from other people trying to harm her potentially, right? Because remember, at this point, she's a Moabite. So she's actually a foreigner. And not only is she a foreigner, but the Moabites, from Moab, and the Jews had really tense relationship. They didn't like each other. There's a lot of enmity between them. And so not only is she a foreigner, but she's a hated foreigner coming into this region, right? In the city of Bethlehem. So, and despite all this, we're seeing how Boaz has been caring for Ruth, building that trust, that relationship, right? Showing he's a man of honor and integrity this whole time. And not only are we building this relationship with Boaz, we're also seeing this relationship with Ruth and Naomi building, right? And to this point, like I said, they're 3 months into the harvest. They're also even more months than that into this season of widowhood that both Ruth and Naomi are experiencing. And Naomi, again, being a mother-in-law who cares for Ruth, even though she's not her own daughter, she still cares for her like her own daughter, right? And so Naomi tells Ruth that she cares so much and she wants her to get married so she can be well provided for. Naomi knows she's not getting any younger, and she's not sure what the future holds for herself, much less for Ruth, right? So she says in verse 1, my daughter, I must find a home for you. Where you will be well provided for. In the Hebrew, that phrase well provided for is translated rest, right? And actually the Hebrew word for rest is menawak. I think I'm saying that right, menawak. And it's a word for security. It's the same one that she actually uses in back in the first chapter, Ruth 1, verse 9, when she tells both Ruth and her other daughter-in-law to go off and find rest, find security for yourselves through a new husband, through finding a home, right? And this word in the Hebrew, manawak, speaks of what home should be. It's actually interpreted to the deeper meaning of a place of rest and security. Man, that kind of hits home for us, right? Who among us, myself included, doesn't desire a place of rest and security, right? In a friendship and a relationship and a financial situation, in a home life and a job, whatever that looks like, right? We're all desiring a place of manawak, of a place of rest and security, right? I remember as two widows, that was a big desire for them. As two widows going through months of grief after losing their husbands and their providers, as well as the journey to go from their home in Moab to this now new home, a new place in Bethlehem. And as Ruth, especially, an unwelcome foreigner in a new land, right? How many of us can relate to that desire of Naomi and Ruth through a hard season, through a season of looking for security and rest in something? Maybe not just months, like these women have been going through. Maybe it's a journey, a desire for years in your life. And it's so hard. It's so challenging, right? To go through those seasons, myself included, looking for rest and security. And yet these women, both because of who they are and where they are in society as widows, and because of their heartbreaking circumstances, become the realization that they can't provide rest and security on their own. And so they need what? They need Boaz. They need their guardian redeemer of their family to step in and fulfill the legal obligation to provide for them, to help them out. And it's such a beautiful prophetic example of Jesus, right? Jesus is our guardian redeemer for our souls, for ourselves now. And it's not a legal obligation. It's a choice. He chose. Jesus came to this earth to be our guardian redeemers in our lives today. And so Naomi tells Ruth that tonight Boaz will be on the winnowing, he'll be winnowing barley on the threshing floor, right? So she tells him, she tells Ruth to wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. So if you're reading this, maybe you're like me, and you're like, okay, Naomi, like, ew. Like, I'm not going to go get all dressed up, look nice, you know, make myself presentable, and then go lay next to some dirty feet on a dirty floor. Okay, I'll be honest. I'll be the one like, do I have to? Really? Even just the cultural context, right? So the cultural context of these verses is that this was understood at the time to be a symbol, an act of total submission. See, in that day, it was understood that the role of a servant was to sleep at their master's feet. And so whenever their master woke up, whenever they had a command, the servant would be at their master's feet waiting to do whatever the master told them to do, right? So Naomi is telling this to Ruth. She's saying, hey, go to Boaz, look nice, look presentable, you know, appeal to his sense of desire, right? And yet, even though you're going in position of looking nice, humble yourself. Show yourself to be a servant to Boaz. Come to him in a submissive way, a humble way, not trying to seduce him or trick him into a marriage, but in a way that's servant-hearted, to honor both Boaz and honor God, right? Everything that Ruth is doing here is to honor Boaz, to honor God, and even honor Naomi, right? And through all this, you know, the bigger picture in all this is that Ruth came to claim a right. That Boaz was her guardian redeemer, her kinsman redeemer. And so he had a legal right to marry her. So she could have walked up and said, hey, you're my guardian redeemer, marry me. Like, I need you to marry me. And that be it, right? That's all she had to do. She could have stood up for herself in that bold, you know, that bold, brash kind of way. And yet, Naomi counsels her to not come as a victim demanding rights, not as someone who's saying, "Hey, I need this. This is my legal right." But she's saying, "Come as a servant. Come with humility and submission, and trusting that Boaz, we've come to know over these last few months, trusting that he is who he says he is." It's saying, "I respect you, I honor you, I want to serve you, right? Even though you're, as Boaz, you're the guardian redeemer, you're my servant. You're supposed to do what I tell you to do as a guardian redeemer to redeem me, to help me, to save me." And it's you saying, "I'm not going to play that card. Can you, I'll be your servant. I will serve you and help you, right?" And can I be honest, the most challenging verse in this whole chapter for me was verse 5, where Ruth says, "I will do whatever you say." No questions, no second guessing, no second thoughts, no reaction that I had, like, ew, really, you know? No doubts. Ruth not only humbles herself to Boaz, but like I said, she humbles herself to Naomi in obedience and humility and trust in what Naomi is telling her to do. Because the honest answer, the reality of this, is that neither of these women knew the outcome. This is the beginning of chapter 3. They couldn't skip ahead to the end, they couldn't skip ahead to the next chapter and see how this all plays out, right? These women are trusting the outcome of this plan, this hope, right? And yet, in the midst of not knowing the outcome, their story paints a beautiful picture, not only of trusting each other and sisterhood, but trusting in God, right? Because as Jeff taught previously, yesterday's chapter, Jeff taught how at this point they knew Boaz was a man of God, right? Everything he say, the life he lived, it showed himself to be a man of God. And so they trusted, because of this, Naomi and Ruth could trust the character of God that Boaz exemplified, right? And remember, even deeper, even so impactful, we look at this, so inspirational, is Ruth in all this. Because remember, Ruth, like I said, is a Moabite. She's not a Jew. She doesn't know this Jewish God. She came from a pagan culture. That's why when Anne was teaching on chapter 1 two days ago, it was a big deal for Ruth to tell Naomi that your God will be my God, because she didn't know this Hebrew God. She wasn't grown up in this culture of knowing God, and yet she saw God's character through Naomi's example. She saw God's character through Boaz's example, right? Because the more we read the Bible, the more we come to learn and exemplify the character of God. The more we read the Bible, the more we come to learn and exemplify the character of God. And then the more we learn the character of God, the more we can trust him. So when he gives us direction or next steps, no matter how humbling or simple they may be, we can respond with trust and obedience like Ruth. We can say to God, "I will do whatever you say." And I'll speak for myself here. I don't need to know the outcome to walk in obedience. We don't need to know the outcome to walk in obedience. Naomi didn't know the outcome. Ruth didn't know the outcome. And yet Ruth still did whatever Naomi told her to do. She got washed up. She put her perfume on, she put her best clothes on, and she went to go lay down at Boaz's feet. She made herself outwardly beautiful, outwardly, you know, attractive, and yet inwardly humbled, beautiful on the outside and the inside, right? It's a podcast to listen to. It's called Revelation Wellness. It's a great podcast to, like, work out to. A few weeks ago, we were talking about obedience in this podcast, and the question that was posed is, what would it be if you defined your obedience, if you defined your win by obedience? What How do you define your win? Is it by the outcome or is it by the act of obedience itself? And so the challenge that this podcaster posed was, obedience is the win. Even if what you get, even what you wish for, you don't get from your obedience, just being obedient to God, that's the win. It's not about what you're going to gain from it materially, what you're going to gain from it blessing-wise, but from obedience, you get to know the character of God. He gets to show himself to you in a new way. You get to know him and know yourself in a deeper way just from the act of obedience. So what would it be like if you defined your win by obedience? What if obedience was your win? For Ruth, no matter what the outcome was, her obedience was the win for her. And even greater than this, right? The more we know the character of God, the more we can exemplify his character, like Boaz and Naomi did, so others can come to know and trust his character too. Just like Ruth, they can find God, find salvation, find redemption, right? Find a redeemer because of the example that we set by knowing and exemplifying God's character first. So we can be the ones to introduce God to someone else who needs him, right? So our first application question here, as we look at Ruth and her example, is when was the last time you told God, I will do whatever you say? When was the last time you told God, I will do whatever you say? Have you ever told him that? And if you have, how did you see him come through? And if you haven't, what's holding you back? What part of God's character does he want to show you through your obedience? Or what part of God's character do you need to come to know better through obedience? Amen, church? All right, so continuing on with verse 7. So it's late at night, and Ruth goes, as Naomi says, to the threshing floor. And she finds Boaz eating and drinking, and then he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. So it's been a hard day at work, right? It's a hard day harvesting and threshing. It's not easy work. And so, you know, he's having dinner, he's enjoying himself, and then he goes to sleep. And so the reason why Boaz slept on the threshing floor is that if you go back to, again, chapter 1, when Anne was teaching 2 days ago, she taught how this time period was in the time of judges, right? And there's a lot of political and social injustice and instability in Israel at this time. So it wasn't unusual for gangs of thieves to come and steal grain from the threshing floors or from storages from those who owned the fields. And so Boaz was actually sleeping at the threshing floor to guard his crop, to guard all his hard-earned grain against these kinds of attacks. And this gives us, again, more context for the danger of the situation that Ruth finds herself in. Not only is a female traveling alone at night, which is scary enough, that's scary in today's time, I'll be honest, right? So not only is she a female traveling alone by foot at night, but the climate of violence and injustice and disregard for others at this time made it especially dangerous, especially as a woman. So Ruth, as she's walking at this obedience and trust, is an even another layer deeper of her faithfulness, of her obedience and trust in the face of potential danger to listen and trust Naomi, to listen and trust what she's telling her to do, right? And also shows the level of trust that Naomi and Ruth have for Boaz, right? That in the midst of, you know, being alone with him at night, they trust and respect him enough to know that she will be safe with him. Because, again, a woman alone with a man in the dark could have a very different outcome in this time, in our time now even, right? But because they knew and trusted Boaz as a man of honor and integrity, they knew that she would be safe there. We also got to respect Ruth too, because she waited until the middle of the night to uncover his feet and lay down. It says in verse 7 how he was in good spirits. So if he's in a good mood, hey, I'm going to take my chance. Hey, if he's in a good mood, I'll come up now. Hey, Boaz, while you're in a good mood, can I ask you a question? Right? That would be, you know, That'd be the common sense thing to do, right? And yet, Ruth has such obedience and such trust in Naomi and such a humble heart that she waits until Boaz is asleep. And she does exactly as Naomi told her to do. She waits till he's asleep. She goes down, uncovers his feet, and lays down in an act of submission, an act of humility, an act of, again, respect to Boaz. Not trying to take advantage of him in any way, not even while he's not sober, exactly, right? She's taking no advantage of him in any way, completely trusting and humbling herself to him. And so he wakes up startled, because again, he's expecting there to be thieves coming in. So if he comes startled, maybe he's got a knife or something for protection or a fist ready to go, he finds a woman. Not what you're expecting to find in the middle of the night, right? At your feet. And so he wakes up and it's dark. He says, "Who are you?" And her response, "I'm your servant, Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are our guardian redeemer of our family." And this phrase, "spread the corner of your garment over me," was a culturally relevant way at the time to say, "Take me as your wife. I'm a widow. Take me as your wife," right? And this is the first time we see Ruth actually acknowledge Boaz's legal right over her. See, remember, Naomi revealed it in chapter 2. And even though she revealed it to Ruth after the first time that she met Boaz, she spent the last 3 months still serving, still working in his field, right? And over those last 3 months, they're getting to know each other again, right? They're getting to develop this genuine relationship. Even though Ruth and Naomi both could have claimed that right much earlier. They could have claimed this right 3 months ago and have had to work for 3 months in the field, right? But again, the humility and the submission and the obedience of Ruth to keep quiet, to keep a low profile, to keep her head down, and to work and to honor Boaz and provide that way instead of jumping right to, "Hey, you owe me this," right? And we're seeing even Boaz, right? Boaz knew who she was. He knew that she was Naomi's daughter-in-law. So he knew he had legal right over her as well. And yet he had the integrity and the honor to care for her and protect her without there being any kind of legal right between them, right? Without an obligation, he still wanted to honor and care for her without having to say, "Oh, you're mine. Oh, I claim you," right? We see two people truly honoring each other and honoring God. Which is so cool. It's rare nowadays sometimes, right? To find two people who develop that relationship, both honoring God and each other. And this beautiful phrase too, "spread the corner of my garment over you." Ezekiel actually prophesies this same phrase to the nation of Israel in chapter 16, verse 8. It reads, "I spread the corner," this is the Lord speaking to the nation of Israel saying, "I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you," declares the sovereign Lord, "and you became mine." So again, in scripture, we're seeing this beautiful picture, right, of God's protection and love for his people. It's exemplified here in Ruth and Boaz's relationship. This is really cool too, as I'm studying. I read that even to this present day, Jewish tradition, when a Jewish man marries a woman, he throws the skirt or the end of his tallit, his prayer shawl, over her to signify that he has taken her under his protection. And that's so cool, right? Again, we're seeing, like I said, this picture of God's love, God's protection, his desire to guard and redeem his people. And this is why we talk about marriage, right? And this idea of a healthy marriage is an example where God is showing a husband to be how to be the protector and lover and guardian of his wife. And a wife is humbling and submitting and honoring her husband like she would honor God, right? Again, everything God does is so intentional, whether we realize it or not. And that's why this book of Ruth is in there. It's only four chapters. It's one of the only books in the Bible, one of two, I believe, that are named for a woman. Yet we see God so beautifully through her life, through her story, right? That's where this book matters. That's where these chapters matter. It's not just 4 days, less than a week of soaping. It's what can we learn now, even this short book of Ruth? And so our second application question, where have you seen God spread his garment of protection, provision, healing, and blessing over you? Take a moment to journal it or pray a prayer of thanks for God. Because even to this day, God still spreads his garment over you. He spreads his garment over his people. Amen. All right, this last portion, almost last portion, verse 10, we see the reply of Boaz, right? He says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You've not run after the younger men." And this gives us the answer, right? That not only is it a yes, but he shows that his response is he's a little bit older than Ruth, right? He's older. So he's expecting her to run after some younger guy, some more handsome, more youthful kind of guy, right? But he says, "You have not run after the younger men," which is makes him feel good, right? Because it's showing that Ruth truly respects and admires him. She's not looking after the younger guy. She's like, "Hey, I respect you. I admire you. I want you to be my guardian redeemer. I want you to fulfill this legal right and step into my life." And it also shows, in a cute way, Boaz has been noticing her too as well, right? Because he knew who she was, and he knew that he had legal right to her. Yeah, he wouldn't cross any boundaries to force himself on her. And he says that all the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. So, because remember, she was an outcast. She was a foreigner, a pagan. And yet the people of her town, and even Boaz, had the right to respect and or the right to reject her and despise her. And yet her noble character stands out and makes her more attractive, not only to the people around her, but to Boaz as well, right? And yet he has such integrity, he's not going to cross that line. He sees her beauty, but he sees her noble character, and that's what stands out to her. That's what means it makes a difference, right? It's not the outward beauty, but the inward beauty she shows. And it also shows, again, that Boaz is a man who knows and honors God's law, because he says that he will redeem her, but there's someone who's closer in relation to them. So it's actually his right to offer it first, which gives like a cliffhanger, right? So now we have a cliffhanger to continue reading tomorrow's soap. Will the other guardian redeemer redeem her or not? Dun, 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 you know? So be sure to come back tomorrow and catch up and find out what happens. But instead his response is, we'll talk about it in the morning, but lie here until the morning. Because once again, he's trying to protect her, right? He's trying to lie here until the morning to protect her from the potential danger in the middle of the night. We close out here, saying in verse 14, "She lay his feet until the morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, 'No one must know that woman came to the threshing floor.'" So he didn't want her not to be seen, not just to avoid the sexual scandal and to keep her honor intact, but also because he didn't want the other guardian redeemer to know that she had already asked Boaz. He wanted to have an unbiased opportunity to let the other man claim his right first without there being any kind of bias of Ruth speaking to Boaz, right? And so he actually, before he sends her off, he actually gives her 6 measures of barley and places it to send back with her and to Naomi. So more food, right? And this is really cool. Jewish tradition says that the 6 measures of barley given as a gift to Ruth were a sign, a prophecy of 6 pious men who would descend from her with 6 spiritual gifts, and list these men out as David, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and the Messiah. Again, Jewish tradition, I think it's so cool to see the cultural storyline behind these, right? And so even though when Ruth left, she didn't know what the response was going to be, she still went back home to Naomi. And even though Boaz didn't know what the response would be either, he still provided for Ruth and Naomi, right? He could have said, "Hey, I'm watching, we'll see what happens. And if the other guy claims you, then I'm done with you," right? But yet he still cares so much for Ruth and Naomi both, that even though he's not sure what the answer is going to be, He still gives her extra food to take back with her. He's still providing and caring for Ruth, even in the unknown what the next step's going to be. And isn't that just like our Redeemer, Jesus, our guardian Redeemer, that when we're in his presence, he's so loving, he's so caring, his abundance is so good in our lives, we always come away with more than we expected, right? Ruth didn't ask for more food. She didn't ask for provision. But yet, her Redeemer gives her more than she ever could ask or imagine. Just like our Redeemer does, right? He's always giving us more blessing, more abundance. We never walk away empty from his presence, right? And now we wait. And then we wait till tomorrow. Now we wait and see, right? And in this moment, not only is Ruth's obedience and trust being tested in this chapter, but now we see her patience is also being tested. Her patience to see what the rest of the day would hold for her as she would find out who would marry her. This man she knew and she was being able to trust and respect, or a complete stranger now. Because the honest answer is sometimes, even when we've been obedient, even when we've been humble, even when we trusted as much as we could, we still have to wait sometimes for God's plan to come to pass. We still have to wait sometimes for God's plan to come to pass. And so our third application question as we close out, where do you feel God calling you to act in obedience or act in patience today? Either way he calls you, it's up to you to make the intentional choice to act in it. So can I encourage you, can I challenge you today to pray and listen for how he wants to call you to obedience or to patience? Amen. All right. Our three questions as we close out today. Question one, when was the last time you told God, I will do whatever you say? What part of God's character does he want to show you? Or do you need to come to know better through obedience? Question two, where have you seen God spread his garment of protection, provision, healing, or blessing over you? Take a moment to journal or pray a prayer of thanks. And question three, where do you feel God calling you to act in obedience or act in patience today? Amen. All right. Oh God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that you call us to obedience, not to challenge us, not to test us, not to watch us fail, but to reveal more of yourself to us. So Jesus, help us to be like Ruth today. Help us to say to you, I will do whatever you say. Holy Spirit, open our eyes and ears, hearts and minds, to continue to hear you speak as we continue our day. Help us to have the strength and the courage and the patience to walk in however and wherever and whenever you call us to. Pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, church, have an amazing rest of your day. Take care. God bless. We'll see you soon.